106b, I guess about 11 lines or so from the bottom, or 12. V'amar b'chia b'raba, amar b'yochanan. So today's daf is going to teach us all about watchmen and the oaths that they might have to make. There's something called Shvuas HaPikadon, someone who is given an object to watch, and then the depositor comes and says, give it back, and the watchman says, oh, you never gave it to me, I never had it, I don't know who you are, I swear I don't have it, I swear I never had it, and it turns out that it's a false oath, so he has to bring a karban, and he has to pay back. If he swore, as we've seen before, if he swore about with a claim that it was stolen, and it turns out that it wasn't stolen, he himself has it, he has to pay double. That's the claim of towing Tainas Ganav. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Sadim Rabbi Yochanan. Hatoin Tainas Ganav ba'aveda. We've seen earlier that there's something called a Shomer Aveda. Someone who's watching a lost object has the status of a watchman. There's a dispute in terms of whether that status is a paid watchman or an unpaid watchman, but he has the status of a watchman. So someone who claims Ganeva, and it turns out that it's false, he himself has that lost object, Meshalem Tashlum Kefil, he has to pay double. My time, why? Because the pasuk that talks about paying double, D'chsiv al kol aveda asher yomar ki yuzeh. Pasuk says, on any lost object that he might say about this. So that's the view of Reb Chiya bar Abba. Eisvi, Reb Abba bar Mamul, Reb Chiya bar Abba, Reb Abba bar Mamul, challenge Reb Chiya bar Abba. We learned in a braisa, when a man will deposit, that tells you, that if a child deposited, that's meaningless. So if a child gave someone an object to watch, and then the child says, return it to me, and the man said, I don't have it, I never got it, the child said, swear to me, the man said, I swear, there wouldn't be the obligations of Shvuas HaPikadon. I would have thought that that's true if the child gave it when he was a child and he made a demand when he was a child. But let's say he deposited when he was a child, but he demands it back when he's already an adult. How do we know that still there's no law of Shvuas HaPikadon? That's what the pasuk says. Adar Elohim, till the courts, Yavod Varshneim, the words of both of them will come. Which means the only time there's the law of Shvuas HaPikadon, the only time we would make a watchman swear about his claims that he's not a watchman, is if both the depositing and the claim against him were made by an adult. Vimisa, now if you're going to tell me that a watchman of a lost object who claims theft has all of the liability and he might end up paying double, a lost object wasn't deposited by anybody, he just found it. So let an object given to him by a child be the equivalent of watching a lost object. The same thing, there wasn't a deposit, but he's watching an object. So if you're going to tell me that when a child gave him something, there is no law of paying double, there is no law of Shvuas HaPikadon, because a child gave it to him, there never had been a proper deposit, then when watching a lost object, also there shouldn't be a payment of double, or a law of an oath. There had never been a proper deposit. It was a lost object. Amale, so, Reb Chiya bar Abba answered, you know what that Bryce is referring to? The child made a deposit, and it was consumed. The object was consumed. It was destroyed. When the child was still a child, and now when the child is an adult, he makes a claim. So what are you going to say? That there was an obligation created to the child? There are no obligations to children. There's no das to a child. But if you're going to say that the child made a deposit, once the child became an adult, the watchman ruined it. So that's the equivalent of a watchman ruining something that he found. Because again, there was no proper deposit, but it was somebody else's object in his domain. That's like finding an object. There is an object in somebody's domain. So what are you going to say? Hakanami here too. The mishalim that the watchman would have to pay. So Adetana, why did the Braisa say that the only time a watchman has to pay when there's a child involved? When the object given to him was given to him by an adult, and the claim against him was made by an adult. Listening, let it say, when would he be obligated? Even if the object was given to him when he was a child, when the depositor was a child, so long as he consumed the object when the depositor was an adult, and the depositor was an adult when he made a claim against him, he would have to pay, because it's the same thing as a lost object. A lost object, it was never given to him properly. But nevertheless, if he made a claim, the claim is false, he would have to pay. Amar Leis, he said, you're right, Tani, you have to change it. Change the Braisa. The Braisa is not saying that if a child made a deposit, then there's never going to be an obligation with such a watchman. No. There's not going to be an obligation if the depositor made a claim against the watchman when the depositor was still a child. But if the depositor who is a child waits and the watchman waits, and only once the child is an adult did the watchman eat this object, and as an adult, the child comes and claims, give me back the object that you destroyed, and he says, no, I never had it, and he swears falsely, then there would be an obligation. The same way if a person is picking up a lost object and he swears falsely about it, there's an obligation. If he has an object from a child, that's the equivalent of having a lost object. And once there is a destruction of the object, there would be an obligation. Rav Ashi said, Lo dami. I can answer the question differently. Rav Chiya was machadeh. She made a new idea that a lost object, a watchman over a lost object, has liability because Aveda Kasi Mikoach Ben Das. It's true that there was no deposit to the watchman, but when the watchman picks up the lost object, he's getting an object that currently belongs to an adult. So Halacha says he's a watchman on it, but he's a watchman from an adult. He's basically being empowered to watch by an adult who doesn't know about it because he lost it, but still, it's the property of an adult that's coming to him. Whereas when a child makes a deposit, halo asimikoch ben das, it's not a person with intelligence making a deposit. He never could create an obligation. So there's a big difference between a lost object and an object from a child. All right, that concludes the discussion of a watchman of a lost object, whether he also has the law of toin tainas ganav, of falsely claiming that there was theft and then having to pay double himself. Another halacha. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, "Name Rabbi Yochanan, ha'toin tainas ganav b'pikadon. If a person claims that there was theft, he's a watchman of an object, right? He's a unpaid watchman, and the person who gave him the object comes and says, give me back the object. He says, there was a theft, it's not here, I don't have to pay you. He says, swear to me, he swears. And it turns out that he lied, he has to pay double. Enochat. He would not be obligated to even swear until he admits partially to the claim against him and he denies another part of the claim against him. We're going to learn in Masechet Shavuos and Masechet Bava Metzia that when two people have claims against each other, I say Reuven owes me $100. And Reuven doesn't want to pay the $100. But if Reuven admitted that he owed me 10 of the $100, then Reuven has to swear that he doesn't owe me the other 90, and then he was be able to go home off the hook. But if Reuven claims that he doesn't owe me anything at all, he doesn't even need to swear. And if I don't have proof, if I don't have proof that he owes me money, I can't take anything from him. Can't force him to give me anything. So Rabbi Abba said this law of a false claim of theft that a watchman will end up paying double only applies when the watchman swears. And it only applies when the watchman admitted to part of it. So namely, the depositor came and said, give me back my object that's worth 300 that I gave to you. He says, no, you gave me an object worth 20 that I'll give back to you, but the 270 that you're saying more, I never owed to you. Yeah. And he swears about that. My time, what's the source of Reb Chiya Damar Kar? Because the Pasuk says, in regards to a watchman, ki hu zeh, he will say just this. So justice means he admits to part of it, but not to all of it. Now this idea of Reb Chiya bar Abba, again, is controversial. Because it's against Rav Chiya bar Yosef. That's against the view of Rav Chiya bar Yosef. Rav Chiya bar Yosef said, Iruv Parshios Kasav Khan, this phrase, Ki Huzeh, is really not, this is not its place. It's really referring to a borrower, Ki Huzeh. It's not referring to a watchman. When does it say Ki Huzeh, that only when the one upon whom the claim was made admitted to part of it does he have to swear? That's referring to a case of a loan. In a case of a loan, I claim you owe me $100 that I lent you. And you say you owe me 10 of those $100. The other 90 you claim you don't owe. Then you have to swear. But if it's a case of a deposit, I say you have to give me back the $100 I gave you to watch. And you say, no, you only gave me $10 to watch. That has nothing to do with this law. Even if you were to say, you gave me nothing to watch, you would have to swear. When it comes to a deposit, there's no law that you have to partially admit. Why? Maishna milva. Why is it that, you know, even though this pasuk is written in regards to a deposit, you're saying, no, it can't be referring to a deposit. It's only referring to a loan. Why is it that a loan requires a partial admission? Kidder Rabba, this is the famous lesson of Rabba. Dama Rabba, Rabba taught me. Pnei ma amra Torah. Modu b'mixas hataina yishava. Why did the Torah say that if someone admits to part of the claim against him, he has to swear about the rest? The answer is like this. Chazaka in other meis pana b'fnei bal chovo. There is a presumption of human nature that a person who received a tremendous favor from somebody else, somebody bailed him out, he gave him a loan, he helped him out, is not going to have the chutzpah to, you know, brazenly tell that person who helped him out, you never did anything for me, you know, I never owed you anything. No one has that type of chutzpah. So really, v'hai b'kulei boi d'nichtere. He doesn't have the money to pay back the loan. He would like to deny the whole thing. Hai d'lo kafre, the reason why he didn't deny it, mishum dein adamei is panav. No one has the chutzpah to brazenly, completely deny or to contradict the person who did him a favor. So therefore, uvakule boy delodile. So let him admit to the whole thing. Well, hide kafar leba mixas. The reason why he only denies only part of it, Savar, he's thinking like this. Imodina leba kule, if I would admit to what I really owe, tavali bakule, he's going to demand the whole thing and I'll have to pay it right away and I don't have it. So ishtamitli mia hashta. Let me at least avoid him now. It's just a delay tactic. Ada havali zuzi, until I have the funds. Once I make some more money, uparana, I'll pay him back. So in a loan, that's what's going on. Because in a loan, I did him a favor. He doesn't have the chutzpah to say, no, you did me nothing. So he says, yeah, I owe you 10. And by saying he owes me 10 when I'm asking for 100, it's his way of saying, all right, and give me a little bit of time to come up with the other 90. I'm just going to come up with the other 90, I'm going to give it to you. So that's what the Torah says. No, make him swear, and once he has to swear on 90, that's unpleasant, he'll admit to the whole thing. So, I really owe you the full 100. Hilkach Ram Rachmana Shvu Aleh, that's why Hashem put an oath on him, ki heichid lod aleh bekule, so that he should admit to the whole thing. So this whole logic, you can say this by a loan, because in a loan, I did him a favor. But if he's a watchman watching an object of mine, he never had a right to use the object. He never did get to use the object. I never did him a favor by giving him the object to watch. He did me the favor. So then you don't have this whole logic. So if he comes and he says, I don't owe you anything at all, we understand why he would say that. Meiz umeiz. Of course, people will have the chutzpah to say, I don't owe you anything at all. So then the oath is going to be obligated on him even when he denies the whole thing. When a person is a borrower and he denies the whole thing, we're not going to make him swear because that's a very credible claim. Who's going to lie and say he doesn't owe anything when somebody did him a favor? That's unusual. But when a person is just a watchman, I didn't do him a favor by giving him an object to watch. He's doing me the favor. So I come and I say, give it back to me, and he denies it. You understand why he might deny it. He doesn't feel obligated to me. So then, when he denies the whole thing, also we'll make him swear. No, he swears that he doesn't have to pay the other amount. No, the nitva, the one who the claim is against, who's admitted to part, swears that his claim is true, and he's exempt from paying that other amount. Tani Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama taught the following in a Braisa. So he also believes that even a watchman only has to swear when he admits partially to the claim against him. Arba Shomrim, all four watchmen, when they have to swear, Tzrichin Kfira B'miktas, they have to partially be denying the claim against him, and Hoda B'miktas, and admitting to part of the claim against them. So again, he would believe that in a case of a, as we've learned, of a Shomer Chinam who claims Geneva, and he swears about it, has to end up paying double when it turns out that he swore falsely. That's only true when he partially admitted and partially claimed falsely. So Arba Shomer, all four watchmen, Tzrichin Kfir B'miktas, they only have to swear if they partially deny the claim against them, but partially admit to the claim against them. Eluain, these are the four shomrim. Shomer chinam, a person who's watching, who's not getting paid. Hashoel, someone who borrows. No se sachar, a person who's getting paid to watch. Vasocher, and someone who's paying to use it, someone who's renting the object. Amar Rava, Rava, explain my time in the Rami Bar Chama. What's the reasoning of Rami Bar Chama? It's based on psukim. Shomer chinam, a watchman is not getting paid. Behed yaksiv beit says explicitly in that case, ki hu zeh. He's going to say, this I owe, but not the rest. Shomer chinam, shomer sachar, yalef nasina nasina mishomer chinam. There's a gzeira shava, the word nasina, giving is placed, is said in regards to a watchman not getting paid. The word nasina is in regards to a watchman who's getting paid. So therefore, just like a watchman who's not getting paid only has to swear if he admits to part of it, so to a watchman who's getting paid only has to swear if he admits to part of it. Shoel, how do we know that a borrower also only swears when he admits to part of it? Because the pasuk says about a borrower, v'chi yishal, and when he will borrow. So the vav and mosif alinyan rishon is to connect borrower to the other cases. And socher, someone who rents an object, so he's either a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar. That's an argument. Ilam andamar kishomer sachar, if according to the opinion that a renter is like a paid watchman, hanu shomer sachar, we already learned that there is a gzera shava. There is the same word, nesina nesina, to say that a paid watchman is like an unpaid watchman, and he only has obligation if he partially admits. And if the source is from the fact that, and if he they bought a renter is like a unpaid watchman, hanu shomer chinam. So again, shomer chinam, the pasuk said explicitly, ki hu seh. Okay, that concludes that discussion. Next discussion. Amr Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. Rav Chiya Bar Yosef had another idea. Hatoin tainas gana bepikadon, an unpaid watchman who claims that the object was stolen, and then he swears, and we've figured out that it's a false oath. Eino chayiv, he's not going to have to pay double at sheyishlach bo yad. Once witnesses come and say, not only was it a false oath and it wasn't stolen, but we saw him use that object. He violated the watching. He used it for himself. Let's say I gave my friend an ox to watch. I come back a week later. Please give me back my ox. He says, oh, terrible thing. There was a burglary the other day. Everything was stolen out of the stable. I say to him, swear. He swears. Okay, now he doesn't have to pay. It was a burglary. What can I do? I leave. And then I find witnesses. They say, oh, your ox. We saw him plowing with your ox. So if he used my ox for his own work, then he's going to owe me double. So my time up.
To a renter?
Not a renter. Thief.
Thief. Oh, thief.
Thief.
He's a thief. He's using my ox. My time. Why? Because the pasuk says in this case where the watchman claims theft, v'nikrav balabayis elu Elohim, and the person will come close to the court, im lo shalach yado b'meleches re'ehu. So, in other words, he comes to the court. The watchman comes to the court. He swears. And he swears that he is not using this ox, implying if he is using the ox, he would have to pay. To imply that Bezdin is you know, figuring out whether or not he's using the object that he's supposed to watch. And if he is using the object that he's supposed to watch and he's claiming that it was stolen, then he is obligated with the liability of paying double himself.
If he lies about the ox, now he has to pay two oxes? Or
yeah, two oxen, that's correct.
Plus 20% or no?
No,
more. That's
no, the double includes the 20%, so it's just the two.
Why is double? This is a new concept of a special ox?
No, we've seen all along that whenever there is a claim of burglary by a watchman who swears about that claim, if it turns out that it was not true, so the oath and his claim makes him the burglar, and he has to pay double.
So it was 20%, and he had to give...
No, a general false oath adds 20%, but a false oath of burglary makes him a burglar who has to pay double. That's toein tainas kanav, one who claims falsely theft.
And trumps the 20%, in other words.
Yeah, 20% is included in that.
It's penalty changes.
But if it's money, is... double the money plus 20%?
No, the 20% is included in the fact that there's double.
Oh, it's included in this.
Yeah, so it's just the payment of
the
double.
Korbanot,
he still has to bring a korban.
Okay.
Amar lehu Reb Chiya bar Abba. So Reb Chiya bar Abba disagreed with Reb Chiya bar Yosef. He said to them, Hach yamar Reb Yochanan, this is what Reb Yochanan said, Be'omedes alavusa. Even when the ox is still standing on its trough, shanu. In other words, if a watchman says to me, to Zev, the depositor, sorry, your ox was stolen, and he swears about it, and witnesses come and say, the ox wasn't stolen, we see it standing there, it's never been used, but it's still standing there in his domain, that already is reason for him to have to pay double.
And if he just used the ox,
then he's a thief already.
If he just used it, but he didn't say that I don't have it anymore.
No. So then he just has to give it back. It's a thief.
Does he have to pay for the use of the ox?
No, it's a thief.
Does he get to keep the ox after he pays for it?
No, unless it changed. He'd have to give the ox back, mm-hmm. Or if it changed, right, then he would pay for it.
There's some mileage on this ox now. In other words,
it depends. If his usage changed it physically, then he would have to pay for it. Amar le Reb Zeir le Reb Chiya bar Abba. Reb Zeir said to Reb Chiya bar Abba, "Dafka bo medes alavusa ka'amar." Is Reb Yochanan saying that the only time the watchman pays double is when the ox is still here and it hasn't been used? Avol shalach bayad. But if the watchman, you know, turned himself into a thief because he used the object, kana, he now has acquired it. And then ushvur lo mahanya baklum, and if he swears about it, it's not going to obligate him to pay double, because once he used the ox, he became fully responsible to pay for that ox. Odumar, maybe a filo medes alavusa kamar. Reb Yochanan is saying that when a watchman swears that there was theft, he has to pay double even when the ox is around and it hasn't been used by him. But certainly, if it's been used by him, Amar leis. Reb Chiya bar Abba answered to Reb Zeira, Zulo Shamati. I didn't really hear the answer to that question from Reb Yochanan. But Kayotze Ba Shamati, I did hear a similar halacha, which will shed light on this one. I'm Reb Abba, Reb Asi. I'm Reb Yochanan, Reb Asi. And then Reb Yochanan, Hatoein Tainas Avad. Let's say a watchman is watching an object. I gave him an object to watch. I gave him my ox to watch. I'm not paying him. And then I say, give it back. He says, oh, so sorry, Zev. It got lost. V'nishba, and he swore that it got lost. Then v'chazer bo, then I came back to him, you know, where is it? He said, oh, you know what? It really wasn't lost. Ta'an tainas ganav, it was stolen. But I swear to you it was stolen. V'nishba, and he swore. Uvo edim, and then witnesses come and say, you know what, he himself is the guy using it. Patri doesn't have to pay kefel. So my time alav mishum dukana b'shvur rishona. Why doesn't he have to pay kefel? Because the first time he swore falsely, the first time he claimed that it was stolen, he became a thief. It became his. And now he has to pay for it. So now that he swears about that which is already his, doesn't require kefel. So the same thing, if the watchman uses it, once he uses it, he becomes a thief and it's his. So he wouldn't have to pay for swearing about that which he already used. Amar lei, so Reb Zeira said back to Reb Chiya, lo. That's not what's going on here. It's not that since he already acquired the object before he claimed theft, that's why he doesn't have to pay double for the claim of theft. Since he swore that it was stolen, since he first swore that it was lost, so he already gave whatever he has to give to the owners. He gave them the oath. So now he says, oh, that first oath was false. I made a mistake. It really was a case of theft. It's too late. He already gave to the depositor an oath. And since he already gave to the depositor an oath, he no longer owes the depositor anything. Itmar Nami, we also learned that Amar Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Eloi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Avin said the name of Rabbi Eloi and the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hatoin Tainas Aveda B'Pikadum V'Nishba, a person who claims that it was lost about the object that he's watching, and he swore about it. Then V'Chazar V'Tzon Tainas G'Neva V'Nishba. Then the watchman turns around and claims, no, it was only stolen. And he swears that it was stolen. Bo Edom, a witness is calm that he's been using it. Potter, he's exempt. Hol v'yatziyah dey bailam b'shvur rishona. Since that first oath was already giving something to the owners, he doesn't have the second oath was not considered an oath that could create an obligation.
So we do it with the first shvur.
Once you make a shvur, you can't make another one against.
Yeah, once he's made a shvur, he's already dealt with this issue. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes taught a third point of view. A watchman who's not getting paid, Hatoin Tainas Gana B'Pikadon, who makes a claim of theft over the object that he's watching, Kevin Sheshalach Bo Yad, if he used it before he made the claim, Pater, he doesn't have to pay double. My time, Hawaii, Achikam Rachmana, because that's what the Torah is in fact saying. V'nikra Balabai Selohim, Imlo Shalach Yado, that he has to go to the court and swear that he hasn't used it. And when he claims that he hasn't used it, so only he can only swear if he hasn't used it, Hashalach Yado, but if he has sent his hand to use the object, Patri is exempt from this entire law. No, any usage of the object. Okay, that's fine, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're saying if he uses the object for his own work, then he's a thief. Amar le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to Rav Sheshes, "V'alo shalosh shvuos mashbi'in oso." But we know that if a watchman claims that it was stolen, we make him take three oaths: one, shvuos shalo pashati ba, an oath that I wasn't negligent; two, shvuos shalo shalachti ba yad, an oath that I'm not using it. Three, shvua sheinu b'shusi, an oath that I don't have it. So my love, shvua shlo shalachti ba yad dumyu de shvua sheinu b'shusi. The oath that I'm not using it is like the oath that it's not in my domain. Ma shvua sheinu b'shusi kimeglayim ilsa deisa b'shuse chayiv. Just like if it comes out that it is in his domain, and he swore it wasn't in his domain, that's when he has to pay double. Ah shvua shlo shalachti ba yad, so to the other oath that he makes, I swear that I'm not using it, even when it's revealed that he was using it, chayv, he still has to pay double. Amar le, Rav Sheshes said, lo, that's not what's going on. The oath that I'm not using it is like the oath that I wasn't negligent. Just like if he said, I swear that I wasn't negligent. And it turns out that he really was negligent. And because he was negligent, the object was stolen. So it really was stolen. So then he doesn't have to pay double because he's not the one who's stealing it. The whole idea of him paying double is when he swears because he's viewed as the thief. And he still has it. So afshua shalosh lachti bayad, so to the other oath, when he swears that he's not using it, kim glaya milsa, if it's revealed that he's the one using it, the shalach bayad, Patrimi Kefel, he is exempt from paying the double. So in the end, there's three opinions. According to Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, a person who claims towing Tainas Kana, a watchman who claims that there was theft, he would have to pay double if he used it before the oath. According to Rav Yochanan, he would have to pay double whether he used it or not. And according to Rav Sheshes, he would only have to pay double if he didn't use it. Sure.